Cool.
So tonight we're going to do things a little bit differently. A few months ago we were inspired by the work of Prayer Spaces in Schools. They basically are a charity that go into schools, take over a classroom, set up focused and interactive prayer stations, and have students from the school come and spend some time responding to them on a level that they feel comfortable with. When you hear the stories of the effect that these have on students in the schools, it's really hard not to feel inspired by them. So we thought we would try some of our own. In a few minutes, Naomi's going to come up and tell us about the stations that we've set up around the church, and we want to encourage you to come and take part in them. We've based them around three themes which we believe are central to Christmas and especially important during Advent. These are love, peace, and hope. Just before we start these, I'm going to spend a few minutes focusing on a passage that might seem a slightly bizarre one to look up to in the lead of Christmas. It's a great passage, but I honestly believe we can all relate to it in different ways, and it looks at these themes of love, peace, and hope. The Bible passage is Mark 5:21-43. It starts, "When Jesus had again crossed over by a boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.' So Jesus went with him." The Oxford Dictionary defines hope as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. And straight away we see this come into play with Jairus, the hope that he puts in Jesus. Jairus, this very important leader, has come to Jesus with the hope that he can make his daughter well. He knows that if only Jesus can get to her, she will be better. His love for his daughter has made him go out and seek Jesus in a very public way to bring him to her. This really important leader is on his knees begging Jesus to come to his house. I don't know what you are hoping for this Christmas, what your heart is deeply hoping for. Is it for a family member to know God? Is it healing for a friend or for more joy in your own life? Are we prepared to truly get on our knees before the Lord and boldly ask him to come to that family member, to come into our lives again, or to come to that friend? Maybe we are feeling bold like Jairus, or maybe we aren't, and we resonate more with the next lady in the passage. The passage goes on. "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.' Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering." This woman, who seems so insignificant that she isn't even given a name in the story, also puts her hope in Jesus. She hopes that one touch of his cloak and she will be healed, and she is. This woman who is searching for peace in her life, peace from the bleeding she's been having, peace from the stigma and the label she's always carried around, risks it all to be healed by Jesus. If we are deeply honest with ourselves, there are times where we feel like this woman, when we want to slip in from behind and just touch the end of Jesus' cloak. We are so ashamed of who we are or what we have done, but we don't want to bother Jesus. We're just hoping that he can help us anyway. I don't know what your need is, if you're going through a crisis or a fear. We're told time and time again in the Bible to take it to God. Taking in it to him in whatever way works for each one of us, because he loves us, he's on our side, and he's waiting for us. Luckily for us, however boldly or cowardly we approach Jesus, it's the approaching him that matters. Skipping on a few verses, the passage continues. "But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" Here we see Jesus' love for her. He calls her daughter. A woman that's been rejected by society is now named daughter. Not only that, Jesus is sending her off blessed and loved and telling her to live well. This has given her permission to live in that peace that she is feeling. Jesus' love and compassion has flowed out to her and healed her. Who do we need to love? Who are those people on the outside of the society that we need to stop and spend time with? I think it's no coincidence that it's the shepherds who came to see the baby Jesus before the wise men. The outcasts of society, the lowest of the low, were the first ones to see Jesus. I love that. That's who God wanted there, especially at Christmas. When writing this, I was thinking about a lovely old lady who I used to volunteer with. She's about 75 years old and sadly lost her husband to cancer a few years ago. One day we were chatting about our Christmas plans and how we were going to celebrate. She told me that on Christmas Day, she opened her house up, cooked dinner, and invited all the people at her church over who were alone on Christmas Day. She actually had a family of her own, but she said that her husband's death made her realise just how lonely Christmas could be for people, and she was going to set about to change that. She was so humble when she was telling me about this, but I know that her simple act made the world of difference to a lot of people in her church. Someone who could have given up hope actually used her situation to share this love and hope to others. Back in the passage, we read on to hear about how Jairus gets the news that his daughter has died and how he should not bother Jesus any longer. Jesus, however, states that this girl is not dead and in fact she's sleeping. And he takes Jairus and him and the girl's mum and three of his disciples up to the girl's room, where we read. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and at this they were completely astonished. Some of the most powerful words in the Bible, I think. "Talitha kum," little girl, get up. Every time I hear those words, I just get that image of Jesus standing over this girl and saying so softly, "Little girl, get up." He has so much love for this girl, like he does for each one of us. One of the things that strikes me about this passage is that I'm sure Jesus could have healed that little girl from where he was stood in the crowd. He was the Son of God, and yet he came, went to a house and took her by the hand. I'm also sure that the woman could have been healed without Jesus speaking to her afterwards. And yet, he takes the time out to call their daughter. How amazing is that? But how challenging is it? We can offer hope, love, and peace to people at Christmas from afar, but are we prepared to really go and be with them? One final quote before we spend some time in these prayer stations I want to leave you with is from Mother Teresa that says, "What can you do to promote world peace? You can go home and love your family."